Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 30th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 58 in Chapter 5, How It Works. We'll be reading the first paragraph, beginning with Rarely Have We Seen, and we'll be commenting and reading on that one reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And today's readers are Danelle M. will be reading the 12 Steps, Gail M. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Becca R., Sandy W., and Robin P. The share ID for Sunday, September 29th, special edition is 13,456. That's 13456. And for this morning, September 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,458. That's 13458. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Danelle M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. This is Danelle M. in Pennsylvania, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, but our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for our knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and with that, I pass.
And thank you, Danelle M. So, Gail M., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning. This is Gail B. from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
And thank you, Gail B., and I apologize for consistently getting that initial incorrect for many meetings for some reason. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in a new chapter, Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 58, the first paragraph that begins with Rarely Have We Seen. And Becca R., if you could get us started, please.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater here in Kentucky. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. But many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And what a great paragraph to be able to read this morning. So many things stick out. I know when I came to program years before I got abstinent, I really came in with a chip on my shoulder of, well, I've done the steps and I've had a spiritual awakening and I've done all this other work and these other programs. So I just really need to get the food down. Can you just help me with the food? But when I was beaten down enough, relapse after relapse after relapse, I came fully into the program. I came all the way in and I said, what do I have to do? And I'm so grateful for my sponsor who was taking care of herself and making her own outreach calls and called me one day and shared about this this new meeting that used the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous to approach the steps and the step work for getting abstinent. And she shared with me a message with depth and weight that that this is something different than we had gone to face-to-face meetings in our town before. And she was sharing with me what she had been given so freely from her sponsor and what I heard on the what I heard on the line was a lot of healthy, recovered people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And I heard things like entire abstinence, and I heard things like do the work. I heard quotes about, you know, it's not for people who want it or need it. It's for people who do it. And for so long, I just wasn't gonna do it. I thought I was bigger than the rules. I thought that it wasn't applicable to me because I had worked the 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I found is that when I put down all those beliefs and approached it with the set aside prayer of let me have a new experience, this book has come alive to me more than it ever did in all my years of sobriety. And it has I came in, I did the work, and I got the results. And I used to think that I was one of those people who was constitutionally incapable. Like, this just isn't going to work for me. That's great that it's working for you. And all I can say to that is just no matter what, just coming back. Grateful to be here this morning, to be recovered, and look forward to hearing what everybody else has to share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Okay, who else would like to share on this first paragraph on page
2? Christina J. Irene D.
Irene
Patty
D.
Patty D.
Deborah G.
Nancy W.
Deborah G. Nancy W.
Kathy W.
Oh, Kathy W., sorry.
It's Nancy and Kathy.
Oh, so there's a Kathy W. and a Nancy W.?
Yeah, we both said our names.
And there was also a Sandy W.
Not to confuse it,
Sandy W. But...
Okay, let's stop there. I'm easily confused, you guys, too, you know. Okay, so here's what I have. I have Christina J., Irene B., Patty D., Deborah G., and then I have the three W's, Nancy, Kathy, and Sandy. So go ahead, Christina J., and if everyone could make sure their phone is muted now, please. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning. I am super excited to be sharing on this, how it works, because I think this is a crucial beginning to each person coming into recovery and realizing that we need to thoroughly follow this path. When I did diets, I was so excited. I was like, I had hope. I was going to thoroughly follow that path. And when I came into program, I was going to thoroughly follow this path when I figured out what I needed to do. And because I need to thoroughly follow this path, because we can't fail if we do it. However, like every exciting pink cloud I've been on with every diet and this program, I began to think I could, you know, skate here and there and da-da-da-da-da, not turn in this or don't turn in that and play around with my food. And because, you know, I knew how to do this. You know, it was all about the food and getting the physical abstinence. I had no idea about the spiritual recovery when I first came in. But, you know, what we're doing when we thoroughly follow this path is we're building a foundation we've never really stood on before. I had a foundation with food since I was born. It became my go-to. It was my friend. It was my lover. It was everything. It was my foundation. It was what kept me sane. So I'm starting a new path. I have to thoroughly follow this to establish a foundation. I have to do what my sponsor says. And I have to trust that it's going to work. I just have to do the simple things and trust it's going to work. Now, I had a sister that died of addiction. And she died a couple years ago. It's almost the anniversary of her death, as a matter of fact. And she was one of these people that were, she was an unfortunate. She wasn't at fault. She was close to God in her heart, but she just could not grasp this manner of living, which demands rigorous honesty. And she's my big example. She got clean from a number of things through the years, but she ended up always finding something else to use, and she died from it, and she suffered so much. It breaks my heart to think about it. She had a grave mental and emotional disorder, but I don't. And through this program, as I work my 10 and 11 daily and my 12, I find more and more ways where I am getting more honest, because I am discovering the deep parts of myself that are not honest yet, you know, that have stopped me in the past, but I'm becoming aware of them, and this is the gift of this program. So thoroughly following, not ever giving up, but we pick up new tools and new steps along the way, and we give ourselves to this program, and it's a wonderful miracle. It can be a wonderful miracle in your life, too. But my advice is to don't dick around. Don't screw around. If your sponsor tells you to do stuff, do it. And just do it. You know, no matter how tired you are or weary or whatever, come home, do your work. It's the most important thing in your life. It's going to be your new foundation for living. God bless all. Love to all. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Irene B., you're up next, followed by Patty, and I think I said D, but I think it's Patty T. Okay, so go ahead, Irene B.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everyone who participated in this wonderful, healthy meeting. I am Irene B., very gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I really like this paragraph, and it's one of the few paragraphs when I read this big book that actually made an impression. The capacity to be honest. Okay, that was really good. Rigorous honesty. Good, good, good. And what I also like is that that it's got the greatest, biggest promise that that we will recover. And I also have the evidence of, I did at the time when I first came into the program, that AA has recovered people, hundreds of thousands of people for many, many years. So, yes, this chapter is good, and this paragraph is a great introduction for what's to come. And I thought I was a hopeless case. I went through so much therapy. I think I thought I was well. I did not know how sick I was. I thought that everything was everybody else's fault. And if only dad were such and such, then life would be okay. Then I wouldn't be in such pain and everything would be fine. I did not know what spiritual malady is. I didn't know so much. And I knew, and early in therapy, they told me that in order to heal, I needed to be honest. So I knew that honesty was like a huge deal. And I really wanted to be honest. But they say that you're in denial when you don't know certain things. So what do I do? What do I do? I can't be honest because I don't know what's there. So I don't know what I need to be honest about. And through the years and through God's healing, I kept going to program after program, therapist upon therapist. And I always got to the place where I was stuck and I couldn't get past it. And I was desperate to quit the binging and purging, but I couldn't do it. And then, by the grace of God, I have 2.5 years of abstinence. And what a miracle that is. And I'm still miserable. Not the way I was before. I'll just say that this program is helping me uncover, discover, and discard and replace the old beliefs that caused so much pain for me. And I have to be honest, and I have to open my eyes, and I can't do it, but God can do it for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Patty, you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Patty D. in Matthews, North Carolina, recovering compulsive overeater. What I wanted to share was that I have experience in both parts of this paragraph. I started a year ago in May in OA, and I think my experience was very similar to the first person who shared, where I thought, I can do this, you know? Yeah, okay, got it. That's a God thing. Do what I'm told. Got it. And then I started to slip and slide. And what I realized was I was not completely honest with myself on my trigger foods and really what was going on in my heart. And so I relapsed. And this time I'm working with another sponsor and have become really honest. And that's the difference. And, you know, my ex-husband was a compulsive overeater. And he had a lot of issues emotionally. He had joined OA years ago. But for him, it was a diet. And then he decided he could do it himself. He died 2 years ago this December at the age of 59 from a massive heart attack in the recovery room of a hospital after some surgery. And they couldn't revive him. He weighed over 300 pounds because he couldn't be honest with himself and he couldn't follow the program. And he's my example, just like the first person you shared. If you can't get honest, you won't succeed. And this disease will kill you. So I don't want my kids to lose their mom. So I'm honest. Gut-wrenching at times, but honest. And that's how I do it, one day at a time, with my God's help. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Nancy W.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, recovered compulsive eater. And thank you all, Kathleen, everyone, for your service in making this meeting possible this morning. For all of us, and I can remember being in OA and going through the steps and not being honest because I would go back to the food. You know, and being in OA, not being honest and going back to the food. And it took me a medical report, pre-diabetes. Didn't want to, you know, get diabetic. I didn't want to put insulin needles in my stomach like my grandmother did, like my cousin Vinny did. I didn't want to do that. And that took me to honestly surrender. Because all that other times with my experience in OA and the steps, I never got honest about the food. And I being a compulsive overeater, a food addict, I never got honest. And, you know, I can honestly say there are still times that I'm not honest, but I make it right. I have more awareness when I, well, maybe there are some times I'm not honest and don't see it, but the times that I do see it because of going through the steps. And that's what I have learned, that when I go through the steps now, and I have to pray, like that AM prayer is asking God to help me to be honest, because I can't do any of this by myself. I need God and I need all of you, and I need to keep talking about stuff that goes on with me, because maybe I'm still not being honest with myself, and somebody else can point that out to me, because it's a very insidious disease. So I'm going to stay in the middle of the herd. This is my tribe. I need to just keep on keeping on. And what I heard one time someone say, the really cool thing about being honest is you don't have to remember what you said. So I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you all. That's all I have.
And thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Nancy W., it is your turn, followed by Kathy W. And Nancy, star one to unmute. Okay, I'll come back to you, Nancy W., because we're not hearing anything. So, Kathy W., you want to go ahead?
Yeah, good morning. This is Kathy W., a compulsive overeater in Denver. I actually just started reading this paragraph, like, in my personal reading. And it struck me really hard this morning. When I joined program, I had no idea that I had a mood disorder. And I kind of have these manic highs and these depressive lows. And at times it would appear that I'm like constitutionally incapable. And I wouldn't have found that without program, because I started coming to program just like, I don't know, life like couldn't get worse. So like, why not? And through program, like I found a therapist, and I think it's later in the big book that it says like it's okay to seek outside help. And for me, like that was essential. Like some days I'd be so depressed and so miserable that like I literally couldn't do anything but lay in my bed and eat and eat and eat. And it's a miracle through program and like suggestions through my fellows. And like I said, it's in the big book later. I think it's in the family section, that the following directions of the big book have helped me immensely. I see a therapist, I'm working my steps, and like, I'm not in bed wanting to die every day. And that in itself is a miracle. So, yeah, I guess that's all I wanted to share. Just if you feel or maybe you need outside help, that's totally okay. But at the same time, too, know that like you can't and you don't have to do it alone. You use your higher power, you use your fellows, and outside help if you need it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy W. And Nancy W., are you with us? Okay, maybe there was a Nancy W. I think there was. But okay, Sandy W., let's take you. And after Sandy W., we will be taking more names for this first paragraph on page 58. So go ahead, Sandy, please.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And I was just thinking back to when I first got the big book, when I first ventured into these rooms. And this was the chapter, of course, that I turned to right away, because I didn't need to know all that background stuff. I just needed to know how it worked. You know, I just wanted this book to fix me, tell me what I should do. And thank goodness it wasn't long before I ventured my way into phone meetings and found this amazing, healthy phone meeting where I learned that that the way, you know, to use the big book is to study it as if it's a textbook. My gosh, that word, use it as a textbook, really, really changed my life. And I'm just so grateful that with all of you, I've learned to study it in this order, you know, start at the beginning. It seems to make so much sense now, but at the time, it certainly did not. Start at the beginning and read through it in the order it's presented. You know, when I first read this paragraph and reading, rarely have we seen a person fail. It gave me such hope. But as I read on, that hope so quickly faded when I kept reading about having to be honest. I think it says that three times in this one paragraph alone. You know, honesty was a requirement. I'm like, really? You know, this girl who had built her whole life around being dishonest, you know, I'm not sure if I knew it then or not, but I certainly did not know the truth from the false, you know. As I said, my whole life was built around dishonesty. I think I was convinced at a young age that I wasn't lovable as I was. So I really mastered the art of instead becoming who I thought you wanted to be. And now I'm supposed to drop all that and become rigorously honest. You know, as I said, I went from hopeful to hopeless again in a second. But luckily, and you know, I say this now, I certainly wasn't saying it then, you know, I had nowhere else to go. So you all taught me, you know, I was still only in step two when I got to this point, and just coming to believe in a power who could restore me to sanity. And I knew I had to hope as well that he could restore me to being an honest person too. And that's really what the work of the steps has done for me, you know, by first becoming entirely abstinent and then working these steps also in the order that they were presented, with the guidance of someone and who the problem had been solved. I found, you know, that buried underneath all that mess and gunk and horror, really, was the capacity to be honest. And in that honesty, this program really does work. And that's really a promise, as I understand it from this book. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sandy W. And I just want to, I think we did have a Nancy W. Are you there, Nancy? Okay. Just wanted to give another chance there, so another shout out. So we are on page 58, chapter 5, the first paragraph, Rarely Have We Seen. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Hey, Reggie D.
Okay, you all came in at one.
Laura
didn't
R.
Anyone. Laura R.
Laura R.
I heard Bruce. Laura R. Bruce E.
Tracy D.
Tracy D.
Reggie O.
I heard Reggie, okay.
Pedro B.
What was the name?
Pedro B.
Wait, I think I hear a B, but you're breaking up quite a bit. Say that again.
Pedro B?
I am not getting it. You're really kind of faint, and there's a little choppy in there.
Pedro.
Pedro
B.
Pedro B. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I can hear you now. Thank you. Thank you, Mo. Thank you, Pedro. Okay, I can take one more.
Page B.
Another B?
Yes, Page B.
Page B. Okay. Gosh, my hearing. Okay. I think this is what I have. Laura R, Bruce E, Reggie O, Tracy D, Pedro B, and Paige B. So go ahead, Laura R.
Great, thank you. This is Laura R, compulsive overeater, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And thank you everyone today for being of service. And I am so grateful I'm a member of this fellowship. It is literally changing my life, and God is so good. I took about a year for me to get honest in this program, been 15 years in program. For me, this is just my story. When I went into Alcoholics Anonymous, it was easy to not, it just, you put down the drink and the drug and that's it. My behavior over the last 15 years definitely was far from honest, and I justified and rationalized, and I ate, you know, and I was able to continue that behavior. And maybe not pick up the drink or the drug because I was eating and smoking and doing a bunch of other things. And over the course of time, God removed one thing after another. And thank God, he said, no more can you be eating. It's time to change. And it took a year because it just was so confusing to me. You know, everyone, I could get justification and rationalization for my behavior by a lot of different people. But it's really like it says, I have to be honest with me. What are my foods that and behaviors and things that I do that I can no longer do, and you might be able to do them? And, oh, my gosh, I want the easier, softer way. And I remember someone told me to listen to a podcast, and it was about entire abstinence. And I listened to that probably in the first 30 days of my abstinence, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. No way. Like, absolutely not. I will never. That's insane. Like, that is insane. Well, guess what? I'm doing it today because I didn't do it. And the more I didn't let go of certain things or behaviors or volume or whatever it is for me, and it took a while. It's just so hard to, like, let the hands off those foods. Or, you know, for me, I was like, I'm not weighing and measuring. And I had to. And I'm so grateful. It's so freeing for me, you know, to do that. And that's not everyone's story. And that's okay. Other people have to do other things that I don't have to do. But here's the beautiful part about it. I am so glad that I kept fighting and kept coming back. Because, you know, just over the last couple of days, in doing a piece of inventory, something was revealed to me and behavior that I knew in my heart but could not look at it, about my behavior and my character. And I read, I was reading something, and it was talking about integrity and the legacy you want to leave. And there is people out there that if they were to think of me, I don't know what they would think of. And I got to clean that up. You know, the legacy I want to leave with certain people today, I am starting to have better relationships, and I'm learning how to have relationships with others because of this program. But there's people in the past that I got to own. And so it's kind of embarrassing. I made a call to a fellow outside of the rooms of in high school. I'm 43 years old. That's 20 years ago, you know, and it's like, where were you over the 20 years to, like, make this amends to this person? But I just justified and rationalized that it was okay. And now with the food down and everything else down, God's saying, you need to own this, girl, or else you're going back in the food. And I am so excited with God, me and God, and we walk together with fellows in this program. I'm going to be able to stand up tall with courage and finally make amends to the people that I've harmed over the years. And I am so incredibly grateful. Thank you all for being part of my recovery. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Okay, Bruce E., followed by Reggie O. Go ahead, Bruce.
All right. Yes, thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, everybody on the line. This is Bruce E. I'm recovering in, North Carolina. This seems to be, subject seems to be on honesty in this paragraph. Sure lends itself to that. It's talking about, well, how honest have I been? And how honest am I still? You know, I mean, am I honest in every facet of my life? You know, with my kids, with my wife, you know, am I always honest? I've just gotten honest. I got to say, just in the last year, I've gotten honest on the food. I've been in the program a long time, many years. and I was never honest about the food. I was always thinking in terms of how can I overeat or how can I eat some of these alcoholic foods. At the time, of course, I didn't know they're alcoholic foods. How can I eat these alcoholic foods and still consider myself on the food plan, not feel guilty about it, and be able to report to my sponsor? And I did that for years. And that was never really honest, because that was always fudging the program and fudging the food plan and not being honest. Well, I needed to get out in here and really, first of all, get put down the alcoholic foods, but also have a food plan that was rigid and honest and didn't contain the alcoholic foods. So those are on the red light list. So now when I blow it, I got to be honest, and I'm honest with my sponsor. I have had my sponsor say, well, you aren't being honest. And yeah, and I never had a sponsor say that before. That I never had one say that, you know, you're an honest person. I never had that. I don't remember ever hearing that. So I'm trying to be a whole lot more honest than I don't know if I'm totally honest or not, but I'm sure working towards that. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves a simple program. Usually men and women who are incapable or who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. So it says those who do not recover are people who don't give themselves to this program, and these people are not being honest. So that seems to be to give myself to the program and be honest seems to be the answer to recovery. I mean, because that's what it says, those who do not recover. So if I'm not honest, don't give myself to this program, then I don't recover. That's pretty much what I see it saying here. And I want to recover, you know. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Brucey. Okay, Reggio, you're up next, followed by Tracy D.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Kathleen O, for your service this morning and everybody on the line this morning. I'm just really happy to wake up and a little while after be on this meeting. You know, when I first came into program many, many years ago, I didn't see the big book for a while. You know, there were tools and things in the meetings. And then I went to a meeting, and the first time I got to look at the big book, this was read, the How It Works, 58 page and 59 with the steps. And I remember seeing, you know, where, let's see, men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. For those, the program will not work. That's how I read this. And I thought that was me, you know, and I said, gosh, I don't know if I will ever be able to be completely honest. I didn't even know what it meant. When I came into program, I think honesty for me was like not telling an outright lie, you know, and what I've learned is that there are so many levels to honesty. But this part about rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And I took note of what someone said, I think the last time we went through the book on this page, and it was, rarely had I thoroughly followed this path. Not, you know, was I failing because I had thoroughly followed it, but rarely had I thoroughly followed this path. And, you know, that first step I've learned, you know, that people have attributed over time principles to each of the steps, and the principle of the first step is honesty, and there's this word rigorous honesty. So it says that, you know, the first thing I learn how to be honest in the rest of the program in my life, if I can be honest with my food. That was extremely challenging for me. I really did not want to let go complete control over my food for such a long time. I did once, and you know, when I actually lost it after a period of time, it was so hard for me to come back. And it was always, even though I didn't realize it, at this first step. Because if as I've said recently here, if I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm honest about my food, there's nothing I can't be honest about. And I really believe that to be the case. And so thorough honesty and thoroughly following this path really is a formula that I believe today in my heart that it cannot fail. And, you know, the 12 steps take me to a relationship with a power greater than myself that will do for me what I've never been able to do or can't do today. This power is there to do that. And, you know, no matter, there's no way I can ever hide anything from this power because it's like deep down within me. So I've got to, you know, there's a touchstone here that's very, there's a touchstone to honesty here that's very, I'm not sure what the following word is, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. Okay, Tracy D., you're up next, followed by Pedro B.
I think that's me, Gracie D. And,
oh, Gracie D. Okay, thanks, Gracie. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I'm a compulsive overeater, and the first thing I wanted to say is thank you guys for being here. You've become such an important part of my life. Thank you for showing up. Honesty. My first exercise of honesty every day is I'm a compulsive overeater, and my life can be totally insane, and it has been insane in the past. But I know that there is a higher power who has the ability and the desire for some ungodly reason and the willingness to help me out of that insanity and set me straight. And I ask every morning, please accept me and be in my life and help me to overcome this disease and to walk in your way every day. And I don't, other than that, honesty comes difficultly to me. But if I start my day remembering who I am and who and what my higher power is, I've got a great start for the day. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Gracie D. And if everyone could please check that their phone's muted, please. So Pedro B., you're up next, followed by Paige B. Go ahead, Pedro. Pedro, can you press star one to unmute? Pedro, are you there? Star one to unmute.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Now, yes, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, my name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. And this is the first time I share this meeting, and I'm very grateful for, you know, all the people on the line that are being so willing to help me abstain from sugar and flour, which is, I found out that I was addicted to sugar and flour, and I was addicted to compulsive overeating. And the importance of being honest with myself about that point. See, I realized that I will always be addicted to compulsive overeating. I will always be addicted to sugar and flour. So it's very important for me to be honest about that fact, because my illness, my disease, my addiction tells me that I'm not addicted, that I can do a little bit, that I can moderate. And it's I have proven to myself over and over the fact that once I'm dishonest with myself and I start eating the foods that I'm addicted to, I'm back into the addiction. I'm back into the illness. I'm back into gaining the weight. And it's been my experience as I abstain from the foods that I'm addicted to, that I lose weight and I get returned to sanity. Anyways, I just wanted to say that one of my sponsors over the years has told me that self-honesty was the first and most important spiritual principle of all spiritual principles. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Pedro B. Okay, page B, it is your turn, and I might have time for one more after page B, so if you want to share, you can let me know. So go ahead, Paige.
Great. Good morning. My name is Paige B. I'm calling from the west coast of Florida. Thank you for your service. I came into the rooms, 12-step rooms of OA when I was 23 years old. Just celebrated my 57th birthday, and it was suggested I go to AA. And what happened was I stopped drinking, and I went on a 32-year bender, a dangerous tango with food. And so I came into OA about a year and a half ago and started on a vision. And for me, I resonated with the woman whose sister was constitutionally incapable. Mine died of addiction at 36, and she was constitutionally incapable. But in my own case, I believe that I was constitutionally unwilling, I had a lot of this laid at my feet. I knew what to do, but I could not go without being in control, running the show with food, using it. I needed to be beaten to a state of reasonableness and to a point where my best laid plan, it was just beaten out of me. I was done. Food is dragging me behind a fast-moving locomotive. And when I live in that, I surrender in the morning. I become willing to do whatever I'm asked to do, which I have not done before. And staying surrendered, for me, it's the ultimate honesty is that I am beaten to a state, and that if I eat, I'm drunk. It's black and white. Thank you. That'll pass.
Thank you, Paige B. So I have time for about a 2-minute share. Would anyone like to take that?
Julie E.B.?
Okay, go ahead, Julie. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. And I really love this, really, has person failed, and thoroughly, the aspect of thoroughly following the path. Because for me, honesty came along with thoroughly following the path. Until I put down my most obvious binge foods and ingredients, I wasn't even willing to see that, maybe it wasn't a great idea to have 32-ounce containers of Diet Coke every day instead of eating or sleeping, if you had told me starting this program that I would need to let that go, I never would have started. In the same way with my character defects, I'm always sharing with people my experience, which is doing a character defect about something little perhaps involving, something that happens to me and someone says something to me. Some of the smaller things in life show me an honesty about my vicarious thrill that I still get from living my life through my children, for example. But I couldn't have started there several years ago. There's no way I could have started there. I started with the things that disturb me, like hearing something from the school. So I just want to share that this is following this path is also a path towards honesty as God does for me what I can't do for myself. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. And thank you, everyone, who shared this morning. And a special thank you to Team September, we're finishing up the month, and for Team Monday this morning, Danelle M., Gail B., Becca R., Sandy W., Robin P., and Mo H. and Reggie O., thank you all so much. And we are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sandy W., would you please read a vision for you?
Oh, thank you, Kathleen, and thank you for your beautiful service this entire month. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.